Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program of our News Talk 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. Our guest this morning is Warden Joe Eichenlaub. Never met anybody who has a more fascinating job as this guy. We are speaking to Joe in his jail today at the Bedford County Correctional Facility. I've only been in this building a couple of times, but it's always amazing every time I come here. So I want to learn more about this, and you will too. And you'll be quite interested to hear what they really do. We're going to try to knock out a lot of mythology today in our conversation. Joe, welcome, and thanks very much this morning for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I want to ask you first a little bit about Joe. What on earth got you into this profession? It is not something that a mother would say, you know, when you grow up, you should be either a doctor, a lawyer, or a jail warden. Tell me how you got into this, and where was the fascination?
So I don't think anybody ever grows up and thinks that they're going to enter the world as a corrections officer in the corrections professions. Very few people think that from the beginning. But the career sort of finds the right people along the way. And I feel that's pretty much what happened with me. I grew up in Altoona and born and raised in Altoona. I graduated from Altoona High. Right after I graduated, I joined the Marine Corps, and I did 6 years in the Marine Corps. When I got out in April of 1995, I had to find a civilian career, and I decided I wanted to be a salesperson. After that crashed and burned, I started looking for another career, and corrections kind of came my way. And as a 23-year-old Marine walking into a state correctional facility for the first time, you feel like I'm a Marine. I think I've got this. Kicked.
Looks just like a brig anyway, right?
Right. And and then you realize there's so much that goes into corrections that people don't realize. And there's so much growth that happens during a career. So after 25 years with the state in corrections, this opportunity came available to come here to Bedford. It also helped me get a little bit back to my roots and some of my family roots, because my grandfather was born and raised in Cessna. So, and there's my family on my mother's side has always had, has continued those ties with Bedford and Bedford County. So, it was the opportunity presented itself, and it felt like it was right. So I think people get to places for reasons.
What a great story. I had no idea you had that Bedford connection. Yes. I find it interesting, though, since I've known you, that you started here as a consultant, were you not? You came in to help make some changes to the prison before you actually became the warden. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I was brought in as the second interim warden. There was an interim warden that the state assigned prior to me, and then I was the second one to come along. For whatever reason, it just seemed right that it was time to close the door on a previous chapter and start another one. So that's how I ended up here.
In a way, you kind of harken back to your initial sales career, because you're pretty entrepreneurial in here. You do a lot of stuff in here that a lot of wardens don't do. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I've been fascinated that every time I see you at a prison board meeting. Again, I want you to tell me about that later. Mm-hmm. But the prison board meeting, I heard you talk about how the psychology and human behavior is really what these places are all about. Can you tell me a little bit about that? And it's not just, we're not just locking people up here. There's more to it, isn't there?
I think I'd say that when I first came here as the warden, my background was completely security. It always had been. And mm-hmm. also, from being a Marine, it's more of a ground pounder and a grunt and things along mm-hmm. those lines. But there's so much that you need to look at whenever you're looking at whether it's a county facility or, on a larger end when you go state or federal as well. You have a lot of individuals that are coming in to the facility that need assistance. Whatever they've done, whenever they come into our custody, we kind of have to set that aside. And we have to, you know, justice is blind. We have to look at it that way. We have to be blind in a lot of ways about what they've done and look at what their needs are. And, you know, there's a lot of mental health needs right now. There's a lot of addictions and things along those lines. What I needed to look at, or what I felt I needed to challenge myself with, is look at different ways to offer the ability to, you know, maybe treat some of these underlying issues that may be a cause for the mistakes that were made that brought him into the facility. Maybe there's an opportunity on the county level, to make that change, to turn them around, to get them back into society, because their stays here are short. I feel like our goal should always be, whenever they come out, and if somebody's moving in next door to you, you know, they're a better neighbor, they're a better citizen, and hopefully with some of the things that we've done here, it allows people to learn a little bit about themselves, to challenge themselves, to take available some opportunities, and maybe move away from some of those mistakes and move forward a little bit better.
What is the principal difference between a jail and a prison?
As I said, I'm more of the grunt style. I think the basic answer with that is, like, once you reach a state system or a federal system, a lot of those sentences are longer term. The longer that you're in somewhere, you kind of develop the systems or become institutionalized, basically, of the way they do things. And the longer you're there and the people that you're around, it's a different atmosphere.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think anybody can say that they've ever been to spend some time in a state correctional facility for years that it hasn't changed them. In a county level, the sentences are shorter. Some people are here for months. Some people, and usually they're on a state sentence, you're there for 2 years or more.
Can I get something clarified?
Yeah.
Can I be sentenced by a judge to a jail? Is that what happens for some minor offense? I mean, I don't know. I don't think about what you do.
Right.
But can I be sentenced to this jail as a sentence, or is it? Or is the jail a place I go first? I mean, that's what I'm trying to get to understand how it works.
So we actually have – that's kind of a twofold answer.
Yeah.
So to answer that question, so anything less than 2 years as part of a sentence, you're going to do your time in a county.
Okay.
Okay. Gotcha. Anything more than two, you're going to move on to the state. But in addition,
so that's how it goes. It literally goes up.
Yes.
Or rather, county, state, federal, is that how it works?
Well – Federal has their own.
Okay.
Federal has their own bucket, but on the county level,
gotcha,
and state, that's pretty much how it works. The more substantial sentences, mm-hmm, are handled on the state.
Gotcha.
The less time, or I shouldn't say substantial. The more time, you're going to go to state. The less time, less than 2 years, you're generally.
So if I'm assigned to SCI Somerset or SCI Huntington, that is a state facility, mm-hmm, for a crime that's more grievous than what I'm in here, in the jail here.
Potentially more grievous, but okay, at the same time, just, you know, you've gotten more than 2 years.
Gotcha.
You got more than 2 years on your sentence.
I see. So it's the time.
It's the time.
Okay, gotcha.
The time is a lot of the deciding factor,
right,
on that. And then that would be the answer to your question. But on the other end, we also have, you know, people that are awaiting trial, people that have been charged, that have been placed, you know, for bail, that haven't posted bail. You know, so there's a pre-sentence, and then you have the post-sentence. Post-sentence, less than 2 years. Pre-sentence, you know, awaiting the, you know, your trial, the charges.
So I may end up here being just waiting for a trial, mm-hmm, a place to store me until that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I say, got it. Because I thought they were putting a cell in the courthouse or something. I didn't know how it worked. So, okay. Yeah, are there cells in the courthouse, by the way?
I believe they have holding cells,
yeah,
for court, and
but
stuff
they just
like
stay
that.
For
they're
overnight.
Just,
or
they're just,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. They wouldn't stay overnight or anything
see,
like that.
Okay.
They would be like for transport,
right,
if they're
okay,
there for,
gotcha,
court. They were probably,
right,
holding cells and stuff.
How long has this facility been here? You know,
this facility here was built in 1996. We're actually in our 30th year, hmm, this year for this facility.
Because we met a couple recently that is rehabbing the old jail in downtown Bedford,
mm-hmm,
and. He said they're thinking about keeping the cells where they are because it's very unusual, of course, to have that in your house.
Mm.
I heard that the warden ran the place and his wife had to cook for all of the prisoners. I don't think your wife would put up with that.
mine likes to cook, so, but.
Not that much.
Yeah.
So, okay, so here you hit the jail here in at the BCCF. How many people are incarcerated here from time to time?
Our average daily population is around 120.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our capacity is 170. But generally we're between our average daily population is about 120.
So do you have inmates that come from other jails?
We can. You know, there's a lot of different instances where that could happen. In some cases that, you know, an individual may have a detainer for this county. You know, they may be pending charges in a different county. We're housing them here because of the detainer that they have here. There's in some cases, you know, wardens work with each other where, we do warden agreements to where, if somebody's not really making it in your facility, we'll give them a try here to, you know, work housing. You know, and if somebody's not really working here, we might try them there to try to give them a little bit better of an opportunity for a positive adjustment.
So you work something out.
Yeah.
Our guest today is Warden Joe Eichenlaub. He's the boss man here at what we call the Bedford Jail, the Bedford County Jail, officially the Bedford County Correctional Facility, correct?
Yes.
Because I know your cards all say BCCF.
Yes.
This is a necessary thing in every county, is it not? We have jails, we have courts, we have these things. So these are just part of the package for the county services, aren't they?
Yes.
So when we come back, we're going to talk to Joe about how you end up in such a place and what they do after you get here when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Jeb Kegg, Chief Financial Officer of Hometown Bank of Pennsylvania, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk, FM 98.7 and 1310 AM, WBFD.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Now let's return to Lloyd and his guest on Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned. We are with Warden Joe Eichenlaub, the director of the Bedford County Correctional Facility. This whole notion of a prison, I wanted you to tell me how someone ends up here. There's a process, as there is with everything. Someone is arrested for whatever. Then what happens?
Once somebody is arrested and they end up, they generally end up in front of a district magistrate. If that district magistrate sets the notions or the limits, and again, I'm just an old grunt, so you're going to get the very basics from me. But if they set the requirements that when it comes to bail or the charges or things like that you need to be detained, once that process is done, then the arresting authority will bring that person into the facility.
Okay, so I've gone through this process. I'm taken through the door by people, I guess, of the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Then what happens? What's the first thing that happens when I arrive?
So the first thing that will happen when you arrive is the correctional staff here will start a booking process to bring you into the facility or an intake process. During that process, they will take vital information from you. You will also be seen by a nurse to gather some medical information and things mm-hmm. like that. And at that time, we will place you in one of our intake cells.
Is that a different cell from the other ones you have here? Or?
Generally, what we do is during the first 72 hours, we're processing some information relating to placement within the facility.
I see.
So our intake in our processing or our processing area has cells there. So we will hold individuals in that area until we determine that it's okay to release them to general population.
So then what happens?
So then once you go to, you know, general population, you're assigned a housing unit. Really at that point, it's you're you know, getting in touch with your family, through
you can call your family out of here?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So we have we work with vending companies that, you know, offer a myriad of things, not only phone calls and video visits, but some different options, some educational opportunities. Like, we offer tablets to each inmate once they come in. Once they come in, they have there's opportunities there to engage in education. There's also required content that we have on those tablets that talks about the rules and the things that you're permitted to do. And it also allows email contact with your family once your family sets up an account.
What's to keep an inmate from getting on that tablet and going on WhatsApp and talking to their old buddies?
Well, there's limitations set up by our vendor that limit that. They're very limited in what they can do.
So is there a way the prisoners can talk to each other on these things?
No.
No. Okay. No. This is interesting. So this is how you control this environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they've got their tablet. They've been in the general population. What is the next step for them?
I think, you know, based upon with my reentry team, they've got stuff going on with potentially their lawyer, with potentially the court system and things like that. With our reentry team, they start looking at each individual as they come in and determine – you know, what we can do to start the reentry process for them. Are there classes that we can offer that we offer here that are viable, or, you know, that can help?
So that begins right away.
Yes.
So you don't wait to the end to do this.
Right.
It begins right at the beginning. Because
right.
I know you're very big on this, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But so you begin the process when they walk in the door.
Yes.
So you want them out of here. The idea is to get them out of here as fast as you can.
Our idea is this, is to provide opportunities to the to the population that are in here to help them learn about themselves, help them make potentially better choices. And so when they do return to society, hopefully some of the things they've learned, you know, help them along the way to that they don't have to come back. And, you know, and then again, they can, you know, return to society and in a more positive aspect.
We did a show recently with Pete Lohner of PSI, and we were talking a little bit about incarceration. And as you know, these guys work with drug rehabilitation. Pete said something to me I thought was rather striking. He said, sometimes it's necessary for these people that have undergone this horrible problem to do some time. He said, because it gives them time to figure out what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys are helping them along the way with that decision. So if they act positively, can they shorten their sentence in any way? Or the sentence, I guess, is done by the judge? Or how does that work?
Well, any sentencing changes or anything like that, we are not.
Okay.
We would not be involved.
So this is not your involvement. Okay.
Yeah. Our goal is to basically try to provide as many opportunities that we can for self-improvement while they're here. And, you know, we've done inmate newsletters and things along those lines where, you know, some individuals have, you know, found out that, hey, I like to write, you know, and it's led them into, you know, looking into writing or looking, you know, and things along those lines. So I think by providing those opportunities, it's a chance for them to learn a little bit about themselves that maybe they didn't know. And I know that our reentry team, you know, like I said, it starts at the beginning. Of course, the closer you get to release, it starts ramping up a little bit. But the reentry team, I think, works really hard to try to, find the right things and provide the right opportunities.
You've got some superwomen working in here, one of which you just got an award. She just got an award. Mm-hmm. I was at a meeting recently with you. And what was the award for?
Captain Murphy just received a certificate of commendation from the commissioners. We assigned Captain Murphy a few months back the on-the-job training program mm-hmm. to, you know, make some changes and kind of take it under her wing and make it her own. And, you know, we've seen some improvements with that, and she's been working hard. And, you know, when people work hard, they deserve recognition. Unfortunately, we live in a world where our society kind of looks at the negative all the time.
I know.
They find the negative. So, you know, I always try to find the positive, you know, with not just Captain Murphy and her accomplishments, but, you know, all my staff. I think it's important.
And you got another one, Lucy, the superwoman Lucy. She should have a cape. Tell me what she does. She's a fascinating job you've given her.
I tell you everything that Lucy does, but I don't know if I can keep up in my mind with everything she does.
What's Lucy's whole name?
Lucy Kentner Parks.
Yeah, right. So she is, well, you tell me, what is it that she does here?
Listen, she is a one-person machine that runs the reentry program. She does have our aftercare specialist works with her. Aftercare specialist Frank Kosky works mm-hmm. with her. But Lucy is very dynamic. There isn't a thing that you can't assign Lucy that it's not going to be done in a manner that's quicker than what you thought it would be done, and with as little supervision as possible. I think everybody else works with 24 hours a day. I think she's got 48 hours in her day. So
I can tell you that I've had contact with her, and it's like a white tornado. She's mm-hmm. running around all the time. So you're lucky to have her.
Absolutely.
And something else you can hear that I've become great. You're a pastor. The religious component of this jail is very interesting. He's really dedicated to what he does. And tell me the kind of influence that he makes, the prison chaplain, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Dennis Dibert, he started as our chaplain, which is all volunteer
right.
For the county. He started that about the same time that I came in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he really pushes me. To make sure that I provide as much classes and things like that as I possibly can. But he's another one that I think has 48 hours in his day, because Dennis is everywhere, everywhere and everything, I think. I just had a conversation with somebody the other day and said, I turned around and Dennis was there. I didn't think he was going to be there, and then he was. And I said, that's how Dennis works. He's a little bit of everywhere. He works very hard with everybody in the facility, including the reentry team, in offering everything. In addition to that, we also have assistant chaplain Sandy, who handles the
oh, you have two.
Yes. Oh, right. Well, we actually have three, because
three.
We have assistant chaplain Sandy, who does a fantastic job with the with the female population in here, and then we have a multi faith.
Do you admit, or you give permission to priests, ministers, imams, rabbis? Can they come into the facility to see the prisoner?
Yeah, we will. That is permitted. It's generally set up through mm-hmm. through a gate clearance and things
right.
like that. It generally goes through Dennis.
I see.
And everything. I do want to mention that we do have a third or assistant chaplain. He's our multi-faith chaplain, Rick. Rick works with the Islamic population. He's been working with Jehovah's Witnesses and some of our smaller, non-Christian based denominations.
Our guest is Warden Joe Eichenlaub of the Bedford County Correctional Facility in Pennsylvania. And we're enjoying hearing what he does here, but it's a different world. It's kind of inside and out. I'm inside with him right now. When I first met you, Joe, I thought, I can't think of a more depressing profession to be in an office that has very thick concrete block walls, very few windows. Do the correctional officers ever get affected by this? Is there a program to keep them well adjusted?
Corrections in itself, anytime you're walking into a building and locking a door behind you for any hours of the day, that wears a toll on, that causes a toll. And some of the things that that my officers experience, or that officers that I've worked with in the past or I've experienced, can be very traumatic. And it can affect you in a lot of negative ways. We are trying with a couple of the different things that we do, peer support. We're working on a peer support team here at the facility. We recently had an incident where we brought in the peer support team and also reached out to one of our community partners for some additional peer support relating to the incident. And, I think we were successful with that, but you really have to, and I think it goes back to what I said earlier. It's so easy to focus on the negative a lot of times. Yeah. We have to try to find positive ways to, one, let staff know that we're there for them.
Everybody needs a win. You mentioned your budding sales career. Mm-hmm. A win for a salesperson is the sale itself. Mm-hmm. So what's a win in the congressional facility? What's a win here? To see somebody really break out and really become a great inmate, or what's the win here?
Well, I think on the inmate end, it is like the win for that is whenever somebody doesn't come back. So you don't really see that. You don't really see that win. But when you don't see them come back, and it's somebody that maybe you've invested time in to kind of mentor, because all corrections officers are mentors. Whenever they walk into this facility, and the way they carry themselves, the way they interact, how they treat people when they're at their worst, whenever you talk to my staff, that's the kind of things that they say that rewards them for their job.
Well, that kind of leads back to what I was asking about the correctional officer's attitude. Their attitudes have to be improved by knowing these wins.
Yes.
No recidivism, I think it's called, to have them come back. So that's got to make them feel better.
Right.
Is there any way you can measure that? Is there any way – do they ever see any evidence of the win?
In some cases, you may run into somebody that was here, somewhere out in the community.
In the sheets or something.
Yeah. And they stop and say, hey, thank you for, I appreciate how you treated me whenever I was in here. You were fair and things along those lines.
Well, that's something. And I guess that matters, it really does. Did I miss anything? You have a long list there. Did I miss anything you wanted to cover today?
Lisa has been, as the deputy warden, she's been with me since day one. Hmm. So everything that we've accomplished here at this facility is a direct result of her leadership as well. I feel very proud to be asked to do this show. I can't walk away from it without saying that Lisa Conklin has been a vital and a huge part of everything that has occurred here in this facility. I mean, I just think that, to sum everything up of where I'm at, as far as me and what I try, what my goals were whenever I got here was to, make a professional facility that the residents of Bedford County have confidence in, and that staff have a strong sense of when they come to work, they're professionals. Second goal was to provide opportunities for the inmates to learn about themselves. And then, I think the third was to build strong relationships with the community.
Warden Joe Eichenlaub, you've been a great guest. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed talking to you today. Okay. And I appreciate your appearing with us on Bedford County Speaks. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. Not that maybe coming into a jail is fun, but it was fun seeing and people like Lucy and your staff make it fun. So it's really great that you have them working for you. And I'm sure you're very proud of every one of them. And I appreciate your time very much. Yeah. This morning's program was brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. If you'd like to hear the program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.